Starting a new series today called Zen Sings My Soul. For the next 3 weeks, including today, we're going to talk about three hymns connected to our salvation from the Word of God. And today we're going to talk about the hymn Amazing Grace. And next week we'll talk about Nothing But the Blood. And we're going to have Cambridge Christian School, their youth team, come and lead us in worship. We're also going to do communion, but it's going to be an informal communion. You'll get your cups at the back, and I'll explain it to you next week. And then we'll end the series. Doris and David are going to miss this. where we're going to have a moment where we can stand before God in the last of the series saying, I surrender. Amazing grace, how sweet that sound, that saved a wretch like me. For my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. What a word. And what a word that word grace is, Lord. And as we try with our small minds to explain that, to understand that, thank you for the gift of your Spirit that will explain in our lives this amazing gift of freedom. There are hearts that need to be healed. There are lives that need to be touched. Thank you for doing that. In that amazing name of Jesus, we pray. And God's people said, Amen. John Newton was 11 years old when he left school to go work with his dad on a ship. His dad had this dream that John would one day be a part of the Royal Navy. And it happened. He got accepted. But John, he was hanging out with the wrong crowd. He didn't care much about discipline, and it ended up with him being dismissed. At the age of 21, he started working on a slave ship, one of those ships that went to West Africa and took the natives and put them on the boat and took them across the Atlantic as slaves. Newton wasn't religious. He didn't believe. But a very interesting kind of ironic thing. While on the ship, he was reading a wonderful book by the Dutch-German theologian Thomas A. Kempis called, does anyone know? You're going to go look it up. Who said that? Of course, David Haskell would know that. Yes. The Imitation of Christ, it is one of the most read devotionals to this day after the Bible. If you haven't read it, go get yourself a copy and read it. It's as old as Noah's Ark. But the gospel in that book is something else. He didn't read The Imitation of Christ because he wanted to convert and become a Christian. He was actually reading it because he wanted to make fun of Christianity. Little did he know what huge influence this book would have on his life. On one of the trips, the boat called the Greyhound, on which they were taking these slaves across, ran into a huge storm, so much so that they thought they were going to capsize. When he woke up from his bunk, got up, he was knee-deep in the water, went up, and with the sailors for 9 hours, they struggled, they tried to save the boat and realized they're not going to be able to do that. They're going to capsize and die. And in that moment, this unbelieving, God-mocking man called John Newton threw himself on the planks of that ship and he cried out, Lord, have mercy on us. And this man who deserved no mercy received mercy. And by God's grace, they all survived. Changed his life forever. became an Anglican minister. One day, while he was reading through the Bible, looking for a sermon, he came to 1 Chronicles chapter 17, story about David and how good David is. And verse 16, he read the words where David says, "Who am I, Lord God, that you would look after me and my family and bring me this far?" And Newton said, as he read these words, it was as if these words just jumped out at him, and he looked at himself and he said, "Who am I, Lord God, that you would even look at me? Who am I, Lord, that when I was mocking you, you looked at me, and by your grace, you saved me?" How amazing is that grace? And then he wrote the song, "Amazing Grace." Let's sing that song. We're going to add the little extra. My chains are gone. So thank you, praise team. Let's sing.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are God who calls.
So here's the question. What makes this grace so amazing? I kept mine in the closet. Not because I was trying to hide it, but because every time I opened the closet, I could look at it. Oh, and there's a slide for this, Ted. I'm talking about my Voortrekker vest. You would call it the Girl Guides or the Boy Scouts vest. We call it the Voortrekkers. Because every time I looked into that closet, I could see all of these merit badges that were on this. Each one of these little round patches, a badge of honor, telling me I accomplished that. That little rabbit one is the one for tracking. And you could get that if you could track an animal. The one for reading a map, you would get that. You see it in there. It's got this little compass in there. And each one I worked for, and I worked for, and it was so wonderful because this was something. I followed the rule, I did what I needed to do, and I got this merit badge, and I just loved every second of that. The thing is, at the same time as I started reading my Voortrekker manual, I also started reading my Bible. And in my mind, the Bible worked the same way as the Voortrekker manual. Voortrekker manual said, you do this, you get that. So according to me, the Bible would say, if I do this, God would do that. And in that way, God was populating heaven with good people who merited, deserved to get into heaven because they did all the good things. And I was going to be good. And I was going to get all of those merit badges. I was going to get one for reading my Bible. I was going to get one for folding my hands as I prayed. I was going to get one for going to church. I was going to get one for not falling asleep in Aubrey's sermons. And I could just imagine seeing these angels in heaven trying to keep up with sewing all my merit badges on my big sash. And I was so excited for that day when I was going to stand before God and God was going to drape that sash all around me with all of my merit badges. And God was going to say, you deserve that. You earned that. You did that. And for the rest of my life in heaven, I was going to walk up and down Golden Street with all of the other good people, with all of their merit badges and their sashes around them. But then I ran into a little bit of a thorny situation. The Voortrekker manual taught me, these are the rules, you do them, and then you get that. But then I took my Bible and I read my Bible. And I looked at the Bible to see how many badges I needed to be safe. Because how much good did I need to do if God only saves good people who do good things? And I didn't want to stay out of this. I wanted to be part of this. How much good did I need to do to merit all of my badges? Because I didn't want to get there. And God says, well, you missed out one, buddy. Sorry. You didn't make it. I mean, a guy like Paul, he was okay. I mean, he wrote epistles. He wrote half of the New Testament. This guy did all kinds of stuff for God. Me? If God only saved good people who did good things, how much good is good enough? So I went to my minister and I asked him. He said, it's easy. One word. Do. Yeah, I see your face. Do. Do good. Do better. Do more. Do this. Do be. Do be. Do be. Do. It became the most popular song in every religion. Hinduism has that song. Buddhism has that song. Mormonism has the song. Legalistic Christianity has that song. Secularism has that song. God helps those who help themselves. Do, be do, be do, be do. And every religion embraced this assumption that God only saves good people. But here's the thing. For all of our talk about being good and doing good, no one has ever been able to answer the fundamental question, how much good is good enough? How much do I need to do? And so what happened is, they fell into this hope factor, which says, I hope I'm okay. I hope I'm one of the good ones. I hope I've done enough. I hope I'm ever going to do enough. I hope when I get there, God's going to say you're okay, even if I missed a few of the merit badges. I hope. The problem with the hope factor is this. It leads to one of two paths. Arrogance. Oh, I'm good enough. I'm okay. Look at me. I've done everything. I'm fine. I'm dandy. Or insecurity. I'm not sure I'm doing good enough. I'm not sure I'm going to make it. I'm not sure I'm one of those. Look at the messes that I've made in my life. What about the messes I've made in my life? And then they get angry at God. And it's like, what kind of God would save only good people, but he wouldn't tell us how much good is good enough? Can I give you the answer to that? Not the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible does not save people on our merit. The God of the Bible saves people by grace. Our scripture passage this morning, Ephesians 2, verse 8. For it is by your good deeds, it is by doing good, it is by your merit, it is by all the... No. It is by grace that you have been saved. Through faith, through holding on to Jesus Christ, your Lord. And this is not from yourself, not your merit badges. It is a gift from God. It is by grace that you have been saved. It is a fact. But the most beautiful part of the fact, it is a gift. And you know what a gift is. I give a gift to my sweetheart Elsie because I love her. I give it because she's so amazing in my life and I want to bless her and it comes from my heart freely. But when I receive a gift, I don't buy it. I don't pay for it. I don't deserve it. When I give this beautiful young man a gift, I say, there's the gift. Chad didn't pay for it. Chad didn't deserve it. It comes from Aubrey's heart. Just, I love you, brother. There's this gift. It is given freely and graciously because of who God is, not because of who I am or what I could do. I could be the biggest mess in the world. I could have messed up so much that you can't believe it. And when God looks at me, he looks at me through the glasses of the grace of Jesus Christ, his Son. It is by grace that this old mess has been saved. Because here's the thing. Even if we tried to work for this grace and pay for this grace with all of what we have, we wouldn't, because we are dead broke, pun intended. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says this. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your transgressions and your many sins. I've got the New Living, it doesn't matter. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. we have nothing to pay. Done. Apart from God, there is nothing. It is grace. It is a gift. It is free. No wonder Newton wrote the song the way he did. He did not write, "Amazing grace. How amazing is this sound that saved such a decent human being like me. Amazing grace that saved this person that is so religious. Amazing grace that saved this person that is so much better than any other person." No, no, no. He wrote, "Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me." And I know we don't like to hear that word, that I'm a wretch, because it doesn't feel good for my self-image. But here's the good news about self-image through the grace of God. When we were lost, when nothing would even look at us, God bought us through His Son. And He saw something in me, in you, that was so beautiful. Beautiful enough that He would give Jesus to go die on a cross. Not because I deserved it. Not because of what I did or didn't. Because God's grace is free and abundant. Amazing is this grace. We ask the question, how good do we need to be good? Here's the answer. We can't. We'll never be good enough. Isaiah 53, we've all gone astray like sheep. Romans 3, the scary moment when you read that, when it says, we have all sinned and there is none that can even be righteous or justified, not even one. And that scares the living daylights out of you when you try the good thing. But then you hear this beautiful word in Romans 8, when Paul says in 7, look at me, I'm wreck, I'm a wretched man. Who will do anything for me? Can you remember his answer in Romans 8 verse 1? I thank God in Jesus Christ, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, the grace of God. No, I can't do anything, but God did it already in Jesus Christ. And all I need to do is to take this and accept that amazing gift. It is yours. It is mine. It is this gift that is given for those who can throw themselves on a deck and say, Lord, have mercy on me. It is for those, said Jesus in Matthew, blessed are those who realize their need for God, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Have you messed up? Have you fallen flat on your face? Amazing is that grace. See how my old minister, he had the answer wrong. It wasn't due. It was done. It was done. On that cross on Calvary, my Jesus died for me. And in that moment, God's justice and God's love came together. And God's grace took over when Jesus took it all. Colossians 3, on the cross, He took that IOU that was written against me, and in His blood, He wiped that slate clean, and He took it away, and God's grace took over. But what of that? God's grace. But what of God's grace? But even God's grace. Because you see, God doesn't save good people. God doesn't save people who merit it. God saves sinners like you and me, especially me. John Newton, at the end of his life, in one of his last sermons, said, and the words, you can put them on the screen if you want to, said, yeah, wrote, and he said, I don't remember like I used to, but I remember two things. I'm a great sinner, but I belong to a great Savior. How amazing is this grace? We sang that. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy, His grace reigns. Unending love. Amazing grace. If your heart was heavy, if you were struggling, if you were wandering, will you hear this word today? It is by grace that we have been saved. It is the gift from God. Amen.